You see, the Bible says that a cheerful disposition is good for your health. Kids laugh more. I mean, you want to get younger? Laugh more. Most people just buy that oil of old age, you know, and put that on. That don't work. Look at you. It don't work. Laugh more. God has a sense of humor. He does. Look at the person next to you.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu. The Bible talks about laughter being good, like a medicine. Well, that being the case, get ready for a dose of extra strength medication, because Dr. Cordero is in the house with a prescription that will definitely make you chuckle. Here he is with part two of a message entitled, Taking Time to Play.
Isn't that true? Sometimes even when we have time, we don't enjoy it. I remember when Anna and I were first married. I came home and we had an hour before I had to do something. And she said, an hour, that's all you have, an hour to spend together. I've been here all day and just 1 hour you have. I said, yeah, I got an hour. She said, 1 hour? I've been home all day, and you just come in 1 hour, and then you go out. Just 1 hour? That's all you give me? I said, no, 59 minutes now. The next time, we had like a half hour together, and we started grumbling because there's only a half hour together. Oh, that's only 30 minutes. Next time, we had 15 minutes. We're grumbling about 15 minutes. 15 minutes? That's all we have together, 15 minutes. I thought, well, wait a minute. And we were grumbling. I said, oh, time out. Let's make a commitment. If God gives us 15 minutes, let's be faithful to steward those 15 minutes well and make the best use of it. Because if we can't even steward 15 minutes together without grumbling and arguing and yelling, why should he give us more? No wonder he's taking it away from us. Because if he gave us any more, we'd kill each other. But if we're faithful in little, we'll be faithful in much. But if we're unfaithful in little, why should he give us any more? Let's make a commitment that if God gives us 15 minutes, we'll be faithful to use 15 minutes well. You see, God is saying, would you take time and enjoy the simple things? How many of you believe that we live in the most beautiful place in the world? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, it is gorgeous. But let me ask you this. Isn't it true you live here in Hawaii, but hardly do you go and look at the nice things around here? Let me ask you, how many of you have lived here in Hawaii and you've never been to Waimea Falls Park? Would you raise your hand? Come on, true confessions. Come on, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Yeah, okay. How many of you have lived here and you've never gone on the inside of Diamond Head Crater and seen the inside? Look, oh, yay, yay. Lord, forgive these people. Yeah, it's true. I mean, I'd been living in Hilo for 6 years. My brother Jerome came to visit me. And he said, hey, I want to go see Akaka Falls. So I said, sure. So we went up above Honamu and we went down to this tropical, lush forest. Beautiful bird of paradise and red ginger. But we went down through this trail, and this foliage has just enmeshed the whole trail. And then all of a sudden, it's like the tropical curtains gave way to the most beautiful, spectacular presentation of one of Hawaii's most premier waterfalls. A beautiful day with a rainbow, and the Akaka Falls just came down the side of this mountain, and I stood there in awe. I looked at that, I go, oh, wow, but. And my brother looked at me and said, what are you doing gawking like that? I said, I've never seen this before. He said, you've lived there 6 years. I said, yeah, but it takes people like you for make-believe you like when tourists so I can guide you around, you know, before I see this. It was beautiful. I never realized how gorgeous it was, and it was in our backyard 20 minutes from our house. It's just amazing how we don't take time. You know, in an old rabbinic saying, it says this, God will hold each of us accountable for the things he put on this earth for us to enjoy, but we refuse to do so. God will hold each of us accountable for the things that he's put on this earth for us to enjoy, but we refused to do so. You know why it's so important for us to take time to enjoy the simple things? Here it is. Because God has some of the most prolific and most eloquent teachers in, number one, in nature. Would you write that in? In nature. There are divine, heavenly sent teachers all around us. But if we don't take time to enjoy nature, we will miss these teachers. Let's read Psalm 19 and verse 1. Ready? Go. The heavens are telling the glory of God. Who's telling it? The. And what are they doing? They're telling us about the glory of God. They're teaching us of the glory of God. I mean, look up at the skies at night. It's just gorgeous. And all the stars are just blinking, blinking for millions of years, just telling of the glory of God, how God has created them, and they stand in allegiance to their master for eons, proclaiming their faithfulness to him who is king. And he says, would you look up to the sky and see a teaching on faithfulness? We have the most beautiful sunsets in the world, don't we? And sometimes Anna and I go up above Kapiolani Community College, and there's this little knoll above the theater, Diamond Theater, and it just shows the city. And when it's the sunset takes place, it is just spectacular. And I look around, you know, and there's like 15 cars, all, you know, they're all college kids. But it makes Anna and I feel like we're college kids again. We're just watching the sunset. I mean, like we're 35 now, you know, and we're watching this, and you know, and I'm looking at it, and I say, honey, Psalm 19, the heavens are telling of the glory of God. And I look at her, and she's like this. Oh. My wife here? Okay, she's not here. Oh, she gonna give me good licking when I get home. But it's just beautiful. Matthew 6:26. The Bible says this, look at the birds of the air. Neither do they toil, nor do they reap, nor do they gather into the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't they less in worth than you? Aren't you worth much more than they? You know what he's saying? If you struggle with whether or not God's going to provide for you because your money's running out, he says, just go outside and look at the birds. They'll teach you. He continues. And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe the lilies of the field. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glorious array was never clothed as splendidly as the lilies of the field. Are you struggling whether or not you'll have enough provision? God says, go outside and look at the lilies of the field. They'll teach you about how God provides. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God abideth forever. You want to know about God's faithfulness? Go check the grass. Check the dandelions and the wild flowers. See how beautiful they come up and they're gone the next day? Oh, God does that every day for eons. His faithfulness abides, and what God says will never change. He sets all of that in motion. The rivers clap their hands. The mountains sing for joy. Go outside and look at the Ko'olau's sometime and see the spiring mountain standing there for millions of years with their arms upraised to their creator. You want to have a teaching on worship? Go take a look at the Ko'olau's and see their stately majesty proclaiming God's faithfulness to the generations. And God says, and I'll teach you about praise. You see, sometimes I think the reason I might be spiritually retarded is because I don't take time to listen to the prolific, eloquent teachers that God has placed around each of us. We don't take time for the simple things, and we miss the depth of God's faithfulness, and we worry and are anxious, and God says, but I have teachers everywhere. If you'll take time, they'll teach you well, and you'll understand my faithfulness to you. But not only in nature, God says, in play I will teach you. Would you write that in? In play. Did you know that God approves of play? He approves of laughter. Let's read Psalm 126 together. Ready? Go. Then our mouths will be filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Would you underline that? We are glad. And he's filled our mouths with laughter. Who? The Lord. Did you know that God is the one that fills our mouths with laughter? Well, you say, Wayne, I'm not some giddy guy, though. You know, I don't like pasting on a plastic smile, kind of walking around like that. But I do need a lilt in my heart. That is a missing balance point. And it's kind of unbalanced. How do I gain more of that kind of lilt in my step, more of a rhythm in my life, so that I can live out of the sweet spot of my life a little more? How do I do that? Well, I say it this way, and someone asked me actually that exact question, and this is what I said to him, and this is what I'd like to say to you. Number two, learn to live closer to the edge of laughter. Learn to live closer to the edge of laughter. You see, some of us live light years away from the edge of laughter. And we got to have a court jester jumping up and down doing the best world-class jokes. Did you know that God designed us to laugh? Did you know that a child by 4 months old laughs once every hour? The kid doesn't even understand English yet. And they laugh for no reason, because it's intrinsically entwined into their fabric. And by 4 years old, they laugh once every 4 minutes. A child laughs once every 4 minutes. That's why you see them playing all the time and laughing, because they're laughing once every 4 minutes. Once every 4 minutes. But then it goes south from there as people get older. Adolescents laugh once every 2 hours. By the time you're 20, once every 4 hours. By the time you're an adult, once every 7 days. And that's only if you come to New Hope, because the only time you laugh is on the seventh day. Let's read Proverbs 17:22. Ready? Go. A joyful heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. And I love the way the Message puts it. Let's read the same scripture in the Message. Ready? Go. A cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. Isn't that great? You see, the Bible says that a cheerful disposition is good for your health. Kids laugh more. I mean, you want to get younger? Laugh more. Most people just buy that oil of old age, you know, and put that on. That don't work. Look at you. It don't work. Laugh more. God has a sense of humor. He does. Look at the person next to you. It's a gas. And I was thinking, now, if laughter is good for your health, and if laughter makes you younger, I thought, by the looks of some people, they're going to die by dinner tonight. Live closer to the edge of laughter. Don't require some world-class Jay Leno, David Letterman joke to finally get you to and laugh a little bit. Get closer. Otherwise, we demand the best jokes, even get kind of a smile, as if laughing is uncool. You know, there's people that come to church and they fold their hands like this. I see them, they look at me like, bless me, I dare you. Go ahead. Try it. You know, and I give like the best Portuguese joke in the world. And they're that back there. I can see God in heaven. Hey, Peter, you heard that one before? That's a good one. That is so good. And Peter says, but look at that guy down there. He's not laughing. Oh, that deadhead down there. Yeah, I see him. That bugger is nothing. He's not even laughing. That was a good joke. How come he's not laughing? I don't know. I tell you what, Peter. When that guy gets to heaven, let's turn him into a porgy forever. That'll teach him. But let me tell you why it's so important for us to allow God to fill our mouths with laughter and our hearts with joyful singing. I'll tell you why. Because the closer you live to the edge of laughter, then even a child's funny comment will bring a breath of fresh air to you. And you'll laugh even when a child does something. And a blunder of a coworker will not bring something of detest, but it'll bring laughter. It's okay, because you're going to face blunder after blunder in your life. But if you live far from the edge of laughter, listen, you'll live closer to criticism. You see, if you live close to the edge of laughter, you're not so prone to criticize. There won't be a spirit of cynicism that will be biting on your heels. Because you see, if something happens, it's okay. I mean, we all do stuff like that, and we laugh, and it's funny. It's okay. It's not bad. But I tell you, if you live far from the edge of laughter, you'll be prone to cynicism. You'll be very cynical, and you'll always see what's wrong. And you'll see things that should be godly and spiritual as unspiritual. You'll actually flip definitions and think it's cool. It is one of the most deceptive and dangerous things in the world. Now, I'm not talking about being giddy. I'm talking about letting God fill your mouth with laughter and your heart, your tongue with joyful singing. What am I saying? Number three, would you write in your notes, guard your joy. That's what I'm saying. Guard your joy. Because you see, the joy that God places within you is so incredibly important. I have said it before and I'll say it again and again and again. Don't you let the devil steal your joy. See, the devil cannot steal your salvation if you've genuinely come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. He cannot steal your salvation because that's wrapped up in the blood of Jesus Christ and it's based on His performance and your faith in His performance. Not your works, His work. So by faith in what He has done, you receive a free gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Salvation is not based on what I do. Salvation is not spelled D-O. Salvation is spelled D-O-N-E. What He has done. But if the devil knows that he can't steal your salvation, what he's going to do is he's going to go after the joy of your salvation. Because if he can steal the joy of your salvation, you won't influence anybody. And if you do, it'll be a negative influence. See, you'll still come to church, but it'll be a chore. You'll still come to set up chairs, but you won't like it. You'll come and it's time for the offering. Instead of saying, I get to give, say, we got to give again. Instead of, I get to go to church, I got to go to church. And it becomes something of a chore because he stole the joy of your salvation. Have you ever seen people who are Christians but without joy? And it's like they've been baptized in lemon juice or something, you know? Marinated in the stuff. And it's just horrible. But God says, be careful. Let's read together out of Psalm 51:12. Ready? Go. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Listen, if he can steal the joy of your salvation, then you'll give up on everything else yourself because the devil has no authority to steal your marriage. So he'll steal the joy of being married and you'll give up on it yourself. He has no authority to steal your ministry. So he'll steal the joy of your ministry and you'll give up on it yourself. So God says, remember this, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Guard your joy. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and sustain me with a what? A willing spirit. Why? Because joy is what's going on the inside of you. It is independent of outside circumstances. Joy is different. It's a willing spirit. You see, what's going to sustain you in the long run in your ministry is not how much people applaud you. It's not how many accolades people give to you or rewards. You know what will sustain you in your marriage is a willing spirit, a spirit that's glad to comply with what God's asked of you. What's going to sustain you in your ministry is not the accolades and rewards. It's a willing spirit. You lose a willing spirit. It doesn't matter how much people pay you. You want out. It doesn't matter how great a church you might be in. You want out because your spirit has been attacked and you've given up your birthright. God is saying it's a willing spirit, and that's where the joy takes place. Be real careful to guard that. You see, happiness is different from joy. Happiness comes from happenings. Same word, happenstances. So if the happening is good, you are happy. The happenstance is good, you are happy. If there is bad happenings, you are unhappy. You are not happy if the happening is bad. You are bad happy. But if the happenstance is good, you are happy. There's happiness. Do you get that? I can explain it more if you want me to. But the other is joy. That is not determined by happenstances. That's what goes on the inside. Well, you say, well, Wayne, how do you get that so your insides is better? The willing spirit is developed. Well, the Bible says, watch out what you're playing on the inside. It's in Colossians that says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your what? In your heart. It says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. So make sure God's word speaking within you. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. What is he saying? Make sure you're playing the right music in the inside to give you a willing spirit. You see, there's an internal Muzak system on the inside. Sort of like when you go to the department stores and there's that Muzak system going. Do you know you have one inside? And you choose what tape you want to play. If you play a warped record, what are you going to become? Yeah, warped, yeah. But if you play something good, that's what you'll become. So he's saying that's what develops your spirit. See, a lot of people, they put something in and they just push it and it's like kind of like their favorite song, you know. Put your head on my shoulder. And we're just always depressed and we don't know why. Other people, you know, it's my party and I can cry if I want to. Another one, what kind of fool am I? I can tell people when they're listening to bad stuff, you know, I listen to all of them, it's my part, and their phone will ring, what? Change your tape. I mean, I think you should put in one, you know, if I should say so myself, it's a wonderful world. I mean, wouldn't that be about better? Put another one in, it's a beautiful morning. That'd be a lot better. I think I'll go outside for a while and just smile. Yes, that's so good. When you're playing that, someone rings you on the phone. Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name? I'll tell you. It's a willing spirit. And let God's word begin to write the songs on the inside. It's okay. Because you see, when you allow the one-year rule begin to surface the things that are right, your relationship with God and with others, eternal investments, and taking time to enjoy life, you'll begin to live out of the sweet spot of your life. When that happens, you'll find that indeed God has designed you to live in the rhythm of life.
You've just heard a message entitled Taking Time to Play by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. This is a message I think you may want to hear again. In fact, you may want to share it with someone else who could use a little laughter in their life. This message came from a series Pastor Wayne did called The Rhythm of Life, an outstanding series designed to make you the extraordinary individual God intended you to be. You can order this series on our website at www.enewhope.org. That's www.enewhope.org. Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu, and heard each day at this time. Join us again and tell a friend. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.